Tea Party on TransistorRadio.com. Your host for the Tea Party is Marty Abernathy, broadcasting live from the banks of the Potomac. You can join us in chat by going to www.transistorradio.com, click on Interact and Chat. Or you can give us a call, 301-686-0894. Now, here's your hosts for tonight, the fabulous, the stupendous, and sometimes a little crazy, Marty Abernathy.
Hey. How's everyone doing tonight? Tonight we have a special guest. I think I have her on the line, Pauline Park.
Hi, Marty.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Everything works.
Great.
Great. Pauline is the co-chair for the New York Association for Gender Rights Advocacy. Welcome to the Tea Party.
Thanks so much for inviting me, Marty.
You're very welcome. Pauline, tomorrow is a big day.
That's right.
For a lot of transgendered people in the New York State. Can you tell us what's going on tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow, the Sexual Orientation Non-Discrimination Act, SONDA, comes up for a vote in the New York State Senate. This is a bill that has been pending in one form or another for 31 years. That may set a record somewhere, possibly. And it's passed the State Assembly 11 years in a row, but has never come up for a vote in the State Senate. SONDA does not currently have any transgender-specific language. And Niagara was the first organization to raise the issue seriously with the Empire State Pride Agenda, which is the state's largest lesbian and gay political organization. The Pride Agenda, as they like to call themselves, or ESPA, as everyone calls them, has been the lead organizing force on the bill for many years now. And we first approached them shortly after we were formed. Niagara was founded in June 1998, and we met with ESPA in November 1998 to see if we could get SONDA amended to include gender identity and expression in order to protect transgendered and gender variant people, as well as lesbian, gay, bisexual people, from discrimination in New York State. And at the time, they were unwilling to consider proposing its amendment. But we have been working with them at the local level for the last 4 years. Tomorrow, the SONDA bill will come up for vote in the State Senate. And there may be an attempt by one member of the State Senate to amend the bill to add gender identity and expression. However, the rules of the Senate basically give the Senate Majority Leader all the power, and the Senate has a Republican majority, unlike the Assembly, which has a Democratic majority. So the prospects for any amendment to add gender identity and expression are extremely dim.
And the state senator that you speak of is Senator Duane, right?
That's right. There's one openly gay member of the state Senate, Tom Duane, who represents the west side of Manhattan. And he has his own bill, the Duane bill, which is different from the standard SONDA bill, which is referred to as the Sanders-Hoffman bill.
But he has no sponsor for the bill, correct?
Right, he has no co-sponsors. And crucially, he has no Republican co-sponsor. You have to understand that in the state Senate and in the Assembly here in New York, the majority controls everything. If you are in the minority, there is virtually nothing you can do on your own. The Democrats control the Assembly, and so the Assembly Speaker is a Democrat. The Republicans control the state Senate, and so the Senate Majority Leader is a Republican. The Republicans had a majority of 36 to 25, but with the defection of one Democrat, Olga Mendez, just a few weeks ago, the majority is now 37-24. So with a 13-seat majority, the Republicans essentially control everything. And here in New York, there's a phrase, well-known phrase, called three men in a room, which basically means the governor, the Senate Majority Leader, and the Assembly Speaker decide everything, which is really quite true. If you can't persuade the Senate Majority Leader to allow an amendment on a bill, and if you don't have the support of Republican co-sponsors, then really you don't even have the theoretical possibility of getting the amendment passed by the state Senate. So it's possible that Senator Dwayne will offer an amendment or offer his own bill, but the Senate majority is simply likely to rule that not germane to the topic at hand, which is the Sonda bill, and vote it down on procedural grounds.
So why do you think that is, with so many legislative victories in the last, especially the last year that we've had in different cities around the country, why there wouldn't be more of a backlash or a push for trans inclusion in DeSanda?
Well, there are several reasons. First of all, you have to consider that the New York City Council, where we had our biggest victory in New York in April, which passed Intra 24, the transgender rights bill, April 24th, and it was signed into law by Mayor Michael Bloomberg on April 30th. The New York City Council has a large Democratic majority. Out of 51 council members, there are only 4 Republicans. So it has an overwhelming Democratic majority. Most are fairly liberal or progressive. So getting legislation, progressive and LGBT-specific legislation through the city council is quite different from getting it through the state senate. That's number one and probably the most important. Number two, you also have to consider the fact that state senators and assemblymen and women have a reelection rate in New York of over 98%. It is virtually impossible to be defeated if you're an incumbent. And what that means is that it is very difficult to bring pressure to bear on incumbent assembly members and state senators. There's, for complicated political reasons, there's basically a permanent Democratic majority in the Assembly and a permanent Republican majority in the state Senate. And every year when they have redistricting, as they did this year, the majority redraws rules and redraws the lines of districts to make them even safer Democratic or Republican districts. And so you would be surprised how insulated the majorities in each of the chambers really are from public pressure. There has been, of course, enormous progress at the local level, most notably in New York City, but we were also able to get passage of transgender rights bills in Buffalo, of an inclusive bill in Rochester, city of Rochester, of inclusive legislation in Suffolk County out on Long Island. And so there appears to be momentum, and yet, once again, there's just this extraordinary lack of responsiveness on the part of New York State government, which is probably the least democratic, small d democratic, of any of the 50 states. You also have a statewide lesbian and gay political organization, which is not as transgender supportive as others.
Kind of like the HRC was a year ago.
Yeah, in many ways.
Like a state version of that.
I mean, they really occupy the same strategic position. You have to consider that in Albany, every member of the Assembly in the state Senate views ESPA as being the spokes organization or the gatekeeper on LGBT issues. And whether you like that reality or not, it is a reality. And there are those who would advocate going around ESPA, and in fact, that is a strategy which some members of the community are now trying. There are some small transgender organizations that are working with Housing Works, which is an AIDS service agency based in New York City, and they have been working together now for a year and a half on this issue. But at the end of the day, it is virtually impossible. Let me give you a concrete example of what I mean. A year ago, last December, a number of transgender activists, including me, went to Steve Sanders, who is the assembly sponsor of Sonda, a liberal Democrat who's really quite LGBT supportive. He's very sympathetic on transgender issues. We went to him and asked him if he would amend Sonda in the assembly to add gender identity and expression. And the response that his chief of staff gave was, well, you know, Steve is very sympathetic on this issue, but our hands are tied because ESPA owns this bill and we cannot amend it without their permission.
Well, I guess my question to you is, because I've researched this quite a bit today, what is your position currently on passage or...
Well, Niagara has a position which is distinct from some of the other organizations. Our position is that we cannot support Sonda because it's not transgender inclusive, but we will not oppose it because we support rights for lesbian, gay, and bisexual people.
Now, don't you find that I've never seen any group come... I've heard the term come back for us.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that's going to happen?
Yes, because we have already gotten a commitment from ESPA, if Sonda passes or if it doesn't, that we will work on new legislation to be introduced in the new session.
Let's hope it doesn't take 30 years to get passed.
Well, yes, obviously we hope that too. But we have a commitment from them to work on an omnibus human rights bill that would add gender identity and expression to state human rights law, as well as enhancing protections already available to other protected categories, which are race, religion, national origin, disability, sexual orientation if Sonda passes, and also enhancing the enforcement of the state human rights law, which is woefully inadequate right now through the State Human Rights Commission. So this is something that we are committed to working with them on. I should mention that, though it may seem depressing, that we have not been able to get Sonda amended before the vote tomorrow, and I think the chances of Tom Duane getting it amended now are not even theoretical, because the state Senate Majority Leader, Joe Bruno, has said flatly that he won't allow any amendments on Sonda. Though it may seem depressing, actually we've made enormous progress. Probably our biggest legislative triumph at the state level was when we in Niagara were able to persuade ESPA and the primary sponsors of the bill to amend and revise the Dignity for All Students Act, which we call DASA, the Dignity Bill, to include gender identity and expression. DASA is a safe schools bill that would protect all students in public schools throughout the state of New York from discrimination and harassment based on a whole list of categories, race, religion, national origin, sex, disability, etc., gender, sexual orientation, and gender, including a definition of gender identity and expression. And that was work that we did 2 years ago. So when the bill was reintroduced in January of last year, it became the first piece of legislation ever introduced in the New York State Legislature to include transgender-specific language. And it passed this year the Assembly 144-2. The State Senate has not passed it yet. They passed a sort of rival bill called the Schools of Safe Harbors Act, which is a bullying bill that does not have gender identity or expression. Though, interestingly enough, it does have sexual orientation. And this was a bill that was sponsored by the Republican Conference, by Republicans in the state Senate. So it became the first piece of legislation that Republican senators introduced in New York that actually had sexual orientation, which in and of itself is rather remarkable. But in any case, basically, there will be another year or so politicking and negotiations around this, but the DASA coalition is absolutely committed to retaining gender identity and expression in whatever legislation eventually passes the state Senate. So while obviously DASA, the dignity bill, is not the same as the statewide discrimination bill, it nonetheless represents a very important victory for Niagara and for the transgender community. And I think it reinforces the wisdom of our strategy in Niagara to work with ESPA where we can and to challenge them when we must.
Well, now, the who's the head of ESPA? Is it Matt Foreman?
Matt Foreman is the executive director of the Empire State Pride Agenda.
Now, he said something in a piece where he said that our community was trying to do a Hail Mary. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I saw that one.
I was really offended by that. Because, I mean, shit, when Becky and I were doing the show last year, we were talking about Sonda. This is no Hail Mary.
Yeah.
A Hail Mary is something that's the last 4 seconds of a game.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the last 4 seconds, but people have been talking about it for a year, at least.
Well, I mean, there's been serious discussion for a year and a half. But as I say, Marty, we actually raised the issue back in November 1998, which was 4 years ago. So it's not a new issue for ESPA. I think what's new is this, and I think the passage of Intra 24 in New York City is what has made this possible. If Sonda passes without gender identity and expression, as I expect it will tomorrow, obviously that will be a huge disappointment. However, I think transgendered people should take some small comfort from this. For the first time, all the talk is about transgender inclusion in state law. This is the first time that I am aware of that the leaders in both houses of the New York State Legislature and the mainstream media, from the New York Times, the Daily News, to the New York Post, have been actively talking about transgender inclusion in state law. And so it may seem small comfort, since we won't be in the bill when it finally passes, but people have to understand that this is not an insignificant victory. Getting the issue on the radar screen is a small but significant victory in and of itself.
What do you see the downside if it doesn't pass because of not being transgendered inclusive?
Yeah. Well, let me say that it is clear to me at this point, of the three possible outcomes, one would be that an inclusive bill passes. The chances of that are zero. That is what we would prefer, but it's not going to happen. The other two options are that it'll pass unamended, and the third option is that it will be defeated. At this point, I would bet that the bill will pass. I think all 24 Democrats are likely to vote for it. Even Tom Duane said that he would vote for the unamended Sonda bill if his amendment fails in the Senate. And you're likely to get at least the 7 Republicans that you need to get the bill passed. So I think it may be close, maybe 2 or 3 people margin, but I think it'll pass. If it were not to pass, I think the downside would be this. I know that there are a few members of the community who would actually rejoice in that and celebrate it as a victory. It would not be a victory, believe me. What would happen is that it would make it more difficult to pass the omnibus the Omnibus Human Rights Bill in the new session. ESPA has said, you see, at the every 2 years, the state legislature goes out of session, and there's a new, because of the elections in November, there's a new state legislature in January.
Right, and they're not going to, they won't.
They're not going to reintroduce SANDA, so it's not like we could get a transgender inclusive SANDA passed.
Don't you think that's a threat, though? I mean, that's, to me, if there's a voice out there for the community, people are going to have to listen, don't you think?
I think, you see, what's going to happen is this. As I say, if SANDA fails, ESPA said they're simply going to scrap it. They're going ahead with this omnibus civil rights bill regardless. The real question to be asked is whether ESPA will put the same muscle behind the new bill that they have put behind SANDA. That's the pertinent question. But what will happen if SANDA fails is that the LGBT community as a whole will look weak and divided. And while, as I say, I have absolutely no brief for the unamended SANDA, it's an incomplete bill, and obviously our preference would be to see it be amended, but that can't happen. From the perspective of the Republicans in the Senate, and they're the people who control that chamber, this community will look weak if SANDA fails.
Do you think we will look strong, though, as the transgender community, if it passes?
No. I'll tell you why. We would look like the spoilers. We would look to lesbian and gay people upstate, and maybe some in the city as well. We would look selfish, as if to say, well, we can't have our rights, so you shouldn't have yours either. And I think there's a possibility, and this is something that there are transgender activists, I think, in the state who do not take account of this possibility. There is a possibility of a backlash, of an anti-transgender backlash, on the part of ordinary sort of gay and lesbian people, particularly upstate.
You know, though, I find that most gay people don't even know the issues as far as transgender inclusion, whether it be INDA or SANDA.
Right. Well, here's my guess, Marty. I think if you took a poll of lesbian and gay people in this state, the overwhelming majority would say, if asked, would you like transgender people included in a broader LGBT rights bill? In other words, gender identity expression along with sexual orientation. I think the overwhelming majority would say yes. But if you ask them, would you prefer to see SANDA pass now? If that's the only choice, unamended SANDA versus nothing, I think the vast majority would say the non-inclusive SANDA bill should pass first.
So basically they would be saying, well, screw them.
Well, you know...
I mean, that to me, that's how it really feels. To me, it seems like they're just saying, well, if we can bring you along, great. If we can't, well, sorry about your luck.
Well, I totally understand what you're saying, and in some ways, on a subjective level, it feels that way to me. But we have to consider this. There was a gay reporter, Andy Hum, who's quite well known as an activist and journalist, who gave a talk at the LGBT Community Center last Tuesday. And there was a crowd of, I heard one estimate of 50 and someone else said 150. And he asked people to raise their hands. And he said, look, if SANDA cannot be amended successfully to include transgendered people, do you still want to see it pass next Tuesday? And virtually everyone in the room raised their hands. It was mostly gay men. What we have to understand as transgender activists is two things. Number one, if we pose it as an issue of your rights versus our rights, we will never win. Because the simple reality is that the transgender community is weaker politically and includes a much larger proportion of very marginalized people. While the gay community is clearly behind the larger straight community in some respects, there are a lot of very affluent and influential and even powerful gay men and some lesbians. No transgender rights legislation that I'm aware of anywhere in the country has ever passed without the support of the organized lesbian and gay political community. None, as far as I know. And so, while it would be easy enough to say, well, you know, we feel really excluded and we really resent the fact that we're not in this bill, and I think that should be said, we have to work in the real world if we want legislation passed in the real world. I think there are two different kinds of situations, and one situation is a happy one and the other is a very unhappy one. The happy situation is, for example, in New York City, where sexual orientation was added in 1987 when the Gay Rights Bill passed the City Council. And so when Niagara came along in 1998, and we began working on Inter 24, the transgender rights bill here in New York City, there was no reason for the gay community not to come behind it because there was no threat to their rights. When you do not yet have sexual orientation in law, which is the situation statewide, where the gay rights bill has been pending for 31 years, or at the national level, where you have a Federal Employment Non-Discrimination Act, ENDA, which has been pending for 9 years, nearly 10 years now, that's where it becomes tricky, because that's when the leading lesbian gay political organization in that jurisdiction, whether it be the state or the country, has to make a decided judgment about whether to include transgender-specific language in the bill. And that is when it is very difficult, and we shouldn't underestimate the difficulties.
So do you, I just see us being thrown to the back of the closet and saying, well, you know, well, because once this is over, it's over. You know, what do they really have to? They have to talk to you, basically.
Well, they do, actually. Why do they have to talk to us? Well, because we have a relationship with them. I think one thing that people should understand, and, you know, if Sonda passes without inclusive language, of course I'll be disappointed. But I've sort of processed this whole thing already, because it's been clear to me for a year that we wouldn't get in the bill. But if Sonda passes unamended tomorrow, as is most likely, then what we need to do is just move on and get transgender inclusion in state human rights law.
Are you for amending SONDA later on, or are you for a whole different piece of legislation?
There's no point in amending SONDA once it passes, because what you would want to do is amend the state. SONDA is simply an amendment to the state human rights law. It adds sexual orientation to the long list of categories, such as race, religion, national origin, disability. So there's no point in amending the definition of sexual orientation to include gender identity and expression. If SONDA passes, what you want to do then is to amend the definition of gender or sex, it's actually sex right now, in state human rights law to include gender identity and expression. So if SONDA passes, there's no point in amending SONDA. You would amend state human rights law. And the strategy, which is already really fairly clearly outlined now, is to amend SONDA, to amend state human rights law with an omnibus civil rights bill. And by bringing in enhanced protections for already existing categories, such as race, religion, disability, etc., you can elicit the support of communities of color, women's organizations, civil rights organizations, and that is a coalitional model that has worked. It's worked twice. First, it worked with the hate crimes bill, the state hate crimes bill that passed in June 2000, albeit without gender identity and expression. But it also worked, at least with the state assembly, with the DASA bill, the Dignity for All Students Act, which, as I mentioned, passed the assembly in April 2002. So I think that the way forward is absolutely clear. I mean, I can see it's absolutely crystal clear. Sonda is going to pass tomorrow without transgender inclusive language. At that point, we simply move on and
put how long of a process do you see this being?
Well, I mean, the actual introduction of the bill wouldn't take that long once we got consensus on what the language was. I would expect that would take 3-4 months to hammer out, which is a very short period of time when you're talking about legislation. So certainly I would hope that the bill would be introduced in the next session. The session officially goes from January through June, and you want to introduce something before May because May and June you get into budget stuff. So certainly the new bill should be introduced in the new session. Then the real question is, how long would it take after that? Well,
since the Republicans are in, probably a long time.
A long time, yeah. I mean, I don't think it could be done in under 2 or 3 years. Could it conceivably take as long as Sonda? I really honestly don't think it would take 31 years. I'm not even sure it would take 10. And I hesitate to provide any sort of prognostication here because the ways of the state Senate are infinitely mysterious. But if I had to guess, my guess is they'll probably be somewhere between 3 to 10 years. Now, if we could get this bill passed in 3 years, well, I mean, 3 years in a way is a long time, and yet in the life of a community, it's a relatively short time.
But don't you think that we are peaking right now? I mean, that our political clout is very strong right now.
Oh, yes. The trends, if you think about it, this year, I just wrote an article about this. This year, we've gotten more than 14 jurisdictions to pass transgender rights bills. And plus, we have had a victory in Pennsylvania with the transgender inclusive state hate crimes bill. But we've had 14 jurisdictions just in the last year, 2002, including some of the biggest cities in the country, New York, Chicago, Boston, Baltimore, Dallas, what were the others? A whole bunch. And so we are very, we are moving forward in a way that is really surprising, I think, to a lot of people. And I can tell you, here in New York, city and state, we have never been more visible, more active, and I think more influential. And of course it'll be a huge disappointment tomorrow if the right language isn't added. I think that's only natural. We have to view things in perspective and understand that progress of this kind is slow. And while the legislation is important, we do need rights. We do need legal redress for discrimination.
Pauline, do you mind if we take a break?
No, please do.
Okay, you're listening to transistorradio.com. You guys can come in the chat room. You can go to www.transistorradio.com, click on interact, and then hit chat. You can come in and talk to Becky, Christian, Jim 2, Lania. Oh, there's just a ton of people in there, including me. And we will be back in just a moment.
OutletRadio.com, community voices on the World Wide Web.
Uh-huh.
Yay! We are back on the air. My little silly music here.
It's a little static, but I can hear you perfectly clearly.
Crystal clear internet broadcast.
That's right.
Well, I wanted to move a little bit on from the Sonda issue to something that kind of confounded me today in my internet search on who Pauline Park is. There seems to be two different versions of Pauline Park. There's one that's a very experienced, effective activist, and there's one that's this evil Beelzebub. And I would just, I mean, there are things that have been said about you that you replaced the whole Niagara board, you created evil. I mean, it really, I really found it offensive in the way that I just find that whenever somebody is ostracized for everything that they've done and there's no good, that's usually a sign that there's a little...
something else going on.
Yeah, some other issues going on. How would you address the people that say that you're a little bit too power hungry or...
Well, I mean, they obviously don't understand the history of Niagara. Seven of us got together in the living room of one of the seven in an apartment in Greenwich Village on a hot June afternoon, June 30th, 1998. And we worked together and added folks and operated really largely by consensus, I think, and took votes when we needed to by majority. And that's been true all along. I mean, certainly we've gone through some internal challenges in this last year, which I don't really particularly want to go into, but I have always believed in a concept of collective leadership and operating on the basis of consensus. And I am very committed to working within a sense of collective leadership, as we have, really, in Niagara.
Well, I have a question as far as the name.
Oh.
I mean, there are two groups right now that are claiming the name Niagara.
Well...
Am I wrong in this?
Yes and no. I mean, we had a terminated ex-employee who attempted to misappropriate the name as well as $50,000 of our funding. But there is a legitimate board of directors, of which I am co-chair, along with Hawkstone. And there's, I don't think, any reasonable dispute as to who the real Niagara is.
But I guess my question would be, is there any... I mean, with the name, it would seem like there would be some type of legal dispute.
Well,
I mean, you've got two groups going, running around saying, I'm the real Niagara. No, I'm the real Niagara. I mean,
it does sound rather like, you know, the two popes, but...
That is a perfect analogy.
The Pope in Avignon and the Pope in Rome. Well, there are some technical legal questions, but essentially there is only one legitimate Niagara. Obviously, two organizations cannot share the same name.
Is there litigation currently?
No. I mean...
So do you see this going on infinitum?
It's really up to the other folks. They have all but ceased to operate, but, you know... I don't control them or seek to, so it's up to them.
But there's no active...
There's no active litigation on either side. They certainly would have no case to sue us. I mean, if anyone had a case to sue, we'd have a case to sue them for misappropriation of funds and of the organizational name. But I'm not the litigious type. I'm focused on...
Moving forward
and doing the important work of Niagara, which is getting rights for transgendered and gender-variant people.
But don't you... I hate to harp on this, but don't you find that confusing? I mean, to be honest with you, I live in D.C., so, you know, I mean, I'm close, but I'm not, like, super close. So, I really wasn't up to speed on the whole history of Niagara. And it really confused the hell out of me.
Well, I mean, if you go to the Niagara website, which is www.niagara.tripod.com, there's an open letter from the Niagara Board of Directors to the community, which explains the situation. And I think that explains it as well as I possibly could. Really, I think in the public domain right now, there's no organization that recognizes the false Niagara. There is none. And on the contrary, every organization that we have dealt with recognizes us as Niagara. We're continuing to work with a broad variety of different organizations, and I could go through the long list of organizations, but we are committed to working on rights for transgender and gender-variant people. That's our mission, and we'll continue to pursue our mission. You know, the rest is all a distraction from the important work at hand.
So, would you be opposed to there being another group if they changed their name?
Well, I mean, I guess I would say the irony of this whole thing is that there are other groups. There's Metropolitan Gender Network, which has been around for 10 years now. There is the New York Transgender Coalition, which formed a year and a half ago. There's STAR, Street Transgender Action Revolutionaries, that was associated with Sylvia Rivera. So there are a number of different groups that people can join. It seems to me rather infantile to try to misappropriate another organization's name. It's not as if people can't form another group or join another group and work through that group. And I think their energy would be much better directed towards working in that way. I'm not stopping them.
Can I, speaking of Sylvia Rivera, can I get your impressions of her as a person? I mean, I've heard some derogatory things between you and her, as not you and her, but as a topic of discussion on the internet. You know how that goes. But I guess, what was your impression of her while she was alive?
Well, you know, Sylvia had her fans and supporters, and I think they're best equipped to, you know, explain her.
Were you not a fan of hers? I mean,
I, you know, my attitude was I did my work and she did hers. And, I'll continue to do my work, and others who are involved with the organization that she co-founded can continue that work as they best see it.
So do you see this as a as competing organizations, or would you consider working with her organization, that I guess with STAR or the different groups?
Well, I think that you have to look at what areas organizations are involved in. STAR was never very directly involved in the legislative arena. When we formed Niagara in June 98, there was no organization in New York City or New York State that was transgender-specific political organization that was actively involved in the legislative arena. None. And we formed Niagara to do that work. The important work goes on, and I think rather than focusing on personalities, it's really important to focus on work. After all, what's really crucial is to empower the thousands of transgendered and gender variant people out there, many of whom are extremely marginalized, some of whom are sex workers, some of whom are have no health care insurance, some of whom lack access to higher education, some of whom have...
some say I need higher education.
Well,
could you help me out with that, Pauline?
I think that what's so crucial is that we have thousands and tens of thousands of people who we're supposed to be advocating on behalf. And every minute that we spend, you know, fighting with each other or...
Bickering
or getting involved in personal or organizational rivalries detracts from the work at hand. And if people can't understand it, then...
Do you see this as like a mini Intact GPAC kind of thing? I mean, it's almost what it seems like, a mini version of that.
Well, I mean, I think that one could try to draw parallels and one could also see differences. I think it's more, you know, each individual and each individual organization has a different style. I've never said anyone had to adopt my style. I have my own particular style. And I think I work well with people. I have colleagues not only on the board of Niagara who would testify to that, but on the board of other organizations that I serve on. And I think that what's important, as I say, is to focus on the work at hand, to empower a community of individuals, many of whom are marginalized, disadvantaged, and disempowered. And if you think that, you know, somehow the misappropriation of the Niagara name or interorganizational rivalry somehow is what we're up, what we're about, you need only think about Joe Bruno and the challenge that lies ahead, which is to get a transgender rights bill through the state senate, where we're dealing with conservative Republicans who are entrenched in power, and no transgender-specific or transgender-inclusive legislation will become law in New York State without getting past Joe Bruno and getting, really, his support. Because the Senate majority, to return to the original topic, the Senate majority leader can block any bill from coming to the floor. He's kept Sonda coming to the floor for years, even though ESPA's convinced that they had a majority several years ago in the state Senate to pass Sonda. And so, to the extent that people focus on all this other stuff, they really detract attention away from the important work and the real challenges of getting transgender inclusive or specific legislation.
Well, do you think that's going to be the do you think that's going to be the case when transgender inclusion doesn't happen tomorrow?
Well,
I mean, that they're going to say that this is... I mean, they're going to bring up the schism and then go into... I mean, do you think it's going to help your cause any?
Well, I mean, I personally don't see how anyone could blame us because, you know, Niagara doesn't control the state senate. I mean, they should lodge their concerns with Joe Bruno, who's the majority leader. He runs the show, not me. And we did our best, as we saw fit a year ago, to try to lobby the more sympathetic Democratic sponsors of the Assembly bill, and were unsuccessful in persuading them to revise or amend the bill. I think that there may be some discussion in the wake of the passage of Sonda without the amendment, but I think the more pertinent question is, did the strategy that Housing Works, MGN, and the NYTG Coalition, among others, did the strategy that those organizations pursue work? And I think the clear answer is it didn't. I mean, if the benchmark for success was getting transgendering inclusive language in SANDA before it passed the state senate, then I think we'll see the answer tomorrow, which is that that strategy did not work.
I'm curious to see what happens tomorrow, but we are coming right up against the top of the hour. I can't believe it's been an hour already.
Yeah.
But any time that you want to come back, and if you have stuff you want to talk about and promote, just email me.
Well, thanks, Marty, and your listeners can check out my official Niagara website, which is www.niagara.tripod.com. And wow, thanks so much for inviting me on the show.
And thank you very much for coming on.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, oh Lord, you people in the chat room, God. calling her little Hitlers and Satan and Beelzebub. I mean, come on. Oh. Well, if you want, I'm going to go over a little bit, about 15 minutes. If you'd like to give us a call, it's 1-301-686-0894. You can call now. That was a very interesting interview. Lord have mercy. I don't think I've ever had anybody do a hot... That was like a... Ooh, Lord! We got a call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Marty, Elena.
How are you?
Oh, my God.
What did you think of that interview?
I'm wondering where the heck you put your utensils. Where you didn't just get the fork and the knife and just
oh, come
up.
On.
Oh, my God, girl.
Was it that bad?
Yes. Yes. We're just sitting there going, shut up, Pauline. Shut up, shut up, shut up. Shut up. I'm still curious as to actually, like, which Sonda is actually making it to the floor tomorrow.
Well, I can tell you that. The non-inclusive tranny Sonda. That is what's making it to the floor.
Oh, joy.
So, I mean... I understood her point. I don't really necessarily agree with it. I mean, I think that...
I didn't understand it.
You didn't? Mm-hmm. Basically, it's like we lost, and we better let the homosexuals and the lesbians win, or we'll lose big time. I don't think that's the case.
Right.
You know, I don't think that... I think basically tomorrow, if Sonda passes, it's like, fuck you, see you later.
I think everybody needs to go ahead and move out here to Cali.
Hey, that sounds like an idea. You know what?
Or New Jersey, because Becky's got the same stuff over there in Jersey.
I want to live in Tahoe. That's where I want to live.
Well, Tahoe's Nevada. There's no protection there yet.
Yeah, no, it's California, too.
Well, not really. If you're actually living in Lake Tahoe... then that's Nevada. But if you're living near
Well, actually,
Lake
it's
Tahoe,
on state line Nevada and California, so...
Right. Yeah.
I want to live on the California side, goddammit.
There you go. But see, that'll be Lake Tahoe, not Lake Tahoe, Nevada.
I want to live off the fucking lake, for God's sakes.
There you go.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to let you go because I think Becky's getting ready to call in.
Oh, I
she
know.
Just went out of the chat room, and I think she's pissed.
Oh, she is livid. Livid. I wanted to get here and make some comments first because I knew she was, as soon as she heard you were, please call in, she was going to be on the phone. So what? I have got to hear what she has to say.
All right. Well, right. I'll talk to you soon, girl. Thanks for calling.
No problem, Marty.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, seems like a few people are irritated. Lord have mercy. Oh, if you want to give me a call, it's 301-686-0894 and comment on what Pauline had to say. I think I'm going to go for another 15 minutes. I'm sure Becky will call in and talk for that whole time anyway, so... Anyhow. I really find it hard to believe the detractors of Pauline Park. I find it... It's basically, you know, like when a Christian organization takes a figure I can't even think of anybody right now. Somebody that molests a child and then basically makes every gay person out like that. It seems like to me that they're trying to paint this picture of Pauline like she is Satan. And I think that people that have strong leadership styles, I think Ricky Wilchins is another example of that, where the tactics might be seen as not the friendliest. But is this about having friends, or is this about getting legislation passed? Kristen in the chat room says, "Don't cry, Marty." I'm not crying. Although, Lord have mercy. I thought I was going to get spanked there for a minute. But I wonder if Becky's like running down. I think Becky probably fell down the stairs. She probably like ran for the stairs, ran down, tripped, fell. And she's probably laying at the bottom of her stairway right now, writhing in pain. Inching her way to the phone. Crawling with her fingernails into the linoleum. We'll see when she calls. Lisa in the chat room is talking about somebody yawning. Lisa, whatever. You're always bitching at me. Lena says she's fallen and she can't get up. Lena's in the chat room twice. She must really like it here. Christian said Becky's running for the payphone. Lord, Christian. Oh. Well, if you want to give us a call, and Becky, if you're out there, it's 301-686-0894. I know you got off the phone so you could call in. I know that for a fact. Let's make sure the phone works. Hello, Becky, you're on the air. Sorry. Couldn't help myself. I can't believe that everything that that she says is a pile of shit. And that's exactly her detractors. Basically, they sounded like to me, like, you're evil, want all trannies not to have rights, and Lisa in the chat room, that girl is working them out. She says, "I don't think the food stamp card works in payphones." And Christian said she steals her mom's credit card. That's what I heard. That's what I heard. But, Lord, and I'm surprised Bridget didn't call in tonight talking about Niagara and how that ties into President Bush. I wouldn't be surprised if that bitch called in. But, I'd like to get your opinions on what you actually think that she's full of shit on, what Pauline's full of shit on, and what you agree with her on, if there's anything that you do agree. Also, you can listen tomorrow for this in rebroadcast. I'm going to put this mother up. Tomorrow night on the show, we're going to have Chelsea Goodwin from the other Niagara to get her reaction on what she thinks about Sonda not passing or passing with transgender inclusion. Like, that's going to happen.
Hello.
Hi,
it's Bridget.
Hello, Bridget.
Hi, I just wanted to call in and apologize on behalf of unreasonablewomen.org, the St. Louis chapter, and answer. I apologize for losing my temper the last time.
Okay, do you have something to say about Niagara tonight? Did you listen to that?
Oh, yes, I did. And just like this unjust war that is basically sacrificing the little children, itty bitty children of Iraq, I also think that Pauline is just as bad as Saddam Hussein. Yes, she is. She's just as bad as Saddam Hussein. She's basically sold out our community, just absolutely sold out on us.
Really? She is...
Little Hitler! That's all I've got to say about it. That's right.
So you think Pauline is Hitler?
You know what? She's a bitch on top of that.
That's enough. I think... Oh, Lord. Somebody needs a day job. God. That was Bridget from the St. Louis chapter of unreasonablewomen.org. That bitch is crazy. It's always got to do about the goddamn unjust war. Ugh. I mean, I don't agree with the war myself. Lane in the chat room said somebody needs a Prozac. Oh. Well, I think Becky got lost. I think Becky's on the way to the hospital right now. I think she's probably fractured her skull or something. You know, she was so pissed going down the hall. Because Becky was in the chat room basically during the broadcast, trying to force feed me questions. It's my guess, god damn it. But she's not kind of as objective on this, I don't think, as I've been. Lane in the chat room said, or you could call her. Well, let me see. Do I have her number? I have it somewhere, but it's in my phone. If it is, well, we will give her a call. No, I didn't. Let's give her a call. Lisa said she had a stroke from her rage. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ Almighty. This is, oh, Lord.
Because I heard it. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, it's Bridget.
Bridget, you... Is everything always revolved?
I'm so sorry, Pauline! Pauline, if you're out there, I apologize to you. I saw your picture on the internet. You're such a cute little Asian woman. I love you, Pauline. I'm so sorry.
What does that have to do with the legislation?
Because this is an unjust war. That's why. And we should be standing up to George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Does George Bush or Dick Cheney have two shits?
Don't twist my words. You are a word twister. I heard you twisting Pauline's words all around her, wrapping her up in a little silk ball.
time twisting? 5 minutes ago, she was little Hitler.
You were completely out of control. Completely out of control, the way you treated her.
Yeah, how was it that I treated her?
Don't get smart with me. Don't give me that smart mouth.
Lord.
Smart mouth, girl.
You...
smart mouth.
Have a good evening. God. That girl is crazy. I think I'm going to get my phone number unlisted. Now, I'm searching for Becky's number because I want to call Becky. God damn it. Oh, and I have to say God damn it one time on the show. That's a requirement. So, we're going to call Becky here in just a minute. But, I mean, I didn't have a problem with a lot of what Pauline was saying. Let's see if I can do this. No, I'm saying this on the air. Oops. Sorry, Becky.
Hi, we're either on the phone or I'm online, so leave a message and one of us will get back to you. Bye.
God damn you, Becky. I'm trying to call you. This is the Tea Party. And we're trying to get a hold of you to get your little opinion on our guest tonight. But I guess we'll have to wait till tomorrow. I hope you have a fabulous evening and stop downloading all that porn and downloading all legal software. Thank you. Goodbye. Oh, Lord have mercy. 301-686-0894. Well, ladies and gentlemen, or ladies and gentlemen, since we have Christian Grantham in the chat room, I am going to get the hell out of here. Because I already took the show over, 15 minutes now. And that's okay, because I love my community, and I wanted to give everybody a voice tonight. But I hope everyone joins us tomorrow and it helps me after my stroke. But please listen in tomorrow for Chelsea Goodwin, and we'll see what she has to say about Sonda and about all this Niagara drama. Or you can catch this in rebroadcast. If you're catching this in rebroadcast, Tuesday the 17th of December, you can listen to Chelsea Goodwin's opinions, what she thinks of this whole rigmarole, and you can go into chat room, and you can just do anything you damn well please. So, I will see you all tomorrow. I love you all. And here's my little Jerry Springer moment. You know, I do this because I love the community and I want us to be able to come together and work together. And I think dialogue works. So don't forget to get your pet spayed or neutered. Good night, everyone.